The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We have Antonio Pierce on today's show. AP and I caught up yesterday and went through a lot. It's a total meat sandwich, about 20 minutes with Antonio Pierce on the recruiting ways of Arizona State. Have they arrived as a national brand? Are they in a space where here locally in the state of Arizona, their recruiting philosophies have changed? One guy last year, one guy so far this year. How is it they get a kid from New Hampshire or a kid from Minnesota or Wisconsin to look at coming or committing to Arizona State? I cannot, okay? I will not ask Antonio about players by name because that is illegal. So when there are those that when I do these types of interviews and say, you didn't ask about this player, they can't talk about him, okay? Just so you know. Antonio had a really cool internship at one point in time with Howard Stern. We're going to talk with him about that. And a player, one player on this year's ASU roster, assuming they play, that he looks at and says, you better not sleep on this guy. And I don't want the usual suspects, if you know what I mean. So we'll do a real deep dive with Antonio Pierce. That comes up here in a few minutes. Michael Fabiano, all things around fantasy football, guys trying to put their teams together with players opting out, with the league saying we are opening this week. Michael Fabiano, that is all straight ahead on today's show. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, they've been a big part of the Valley for many years. When I announced the Desert Financial Credit Union had come on board as our title sponsor, I had a businessman that reached out to me. He said, I've used them for 20 years for my company. I have over 1,000 employees. And we here at Sports 360 AZ use Desert Financial Credit Union, and we're not nearly that big, maybe someday, but we're not nearly that big, and they fit our needs too. What about you? Desert Financial Credit Union. You can find them around the Valley. Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support as the title sponsor of Sports360AZ.com. And the Football AZ Show, which tonight airs on Fox Sports Arizona. 14 airings this week before and after the Diamondbacks games. And we hope the Diamondbacks are at least competitive. Man, were they dreadful in San Diego. Ugh. 1-3. Outscored 21-9. All these walks, sloppy fundamentally. Torrey Lovello on Sunday gets run. And so, you know, you look at it and you say, well, you cannot get too far down in a hole here. I'm already hearing from fans saying, hey, time to turn the page at 1-3. Brad, you said only 60 games. Every game means like time 7. And I'm right. I said that. Sure shooting. I did. But when I look at where they are right now going to Texas with Merrill Kelly on the hill tonight, and then Madison pitches tomorrow before coming home to the Dodgers, yeah, I'd say early on in the season to come home like 1-5 and be limping with the Dodgers, that's a pretty big hill. So at least split on the road and win series at home. That's the way it needs to work for them. And so the Diamondbacks will be in Texas. That will be tonight. The Suns are scrimmaging today against Toronto, down in Orlando. They get after it for real this weekend against Washington. The Coyotes, they have a scrimmage Thursday up in Edmonton against Vegas. They are in their bubble in Edmonton right now. And they get started with their series with the Preds. That'll be next week. Cliff Kingsbury is talking today for the first time about Cardinals and training camp. So the Cardinals are getting going. So everybody's getting going. So I will shift over to the other side of the news cycle today, and that is this. There are NFL players now that are opting out, saying, I am not going to play this season. I am more concerned about my wife or an underlying health condition. There have been a slew of players. I'm not going to go through all of them. There's been a slew of players so far, no Cardinals that I'm aware of, that have opted out, meaning they are not going to play this season. Yesterday, it was announced that the Miami Marlins had a bunch of players that tested positive in Philadelphia. The Marlins are still there. The Orioles were supposed to play them down in Miami, and now in the last half hour, the Washington Nationals have come out and said, we don't want to go we as players say, we are not going to go to Miami this weekend to play in the series against the Marlins. And so what we're seeing right now is the tidal wave of disorganization, not having a bubble, or these are just kind of the bumps in the road and trying to figure this thing out. There are people that say there's us in the business that don't want to see it work, which is just absurd and asinine. I don't sit here and say, boy, I hope there's some bad news today. Boy, I hope there's some bad. No, but when it happens, you have to address it. It's like on the high school football level yesterday. We went through this story about how Jason Jewell, the head coach at Brophy and the Brophy administration, said, we're not going to start on September 11th. That's just not happening. We'll look at starting in early October, and I applaud them. I appreciate it. Not every player has to be daddy baller and has to have football at all costs. There are those that don't believe any of this stuff is real, and one day it'll magically disappear. I was in a meetup with some people yesterday at a place. And one guy said, yep, this is just going to disappear. The day you watch, the day after the election, it'll all be gone. It'll all be cleared up. Okay, people are just dying all, you know. Oh, but how many of them lived? And so, you know, I hear all of this, and I just step back and say, okay, if the Pac-12 presidents can all uniformly say, we believe we should have football, then there may be a Pac-12 football season. Anything else doesn't matter. I can tell you that U of A and ASU may play in early or late September from what I'm hearing on the schedule. Doesn't mean a darn thing. They can release schedules. And that's true. U of A, ASU may well play from what I'm hearing early in the season, which would be terrific. It's a complete waste to play on Thanksgiving weekend opposite Alabama-Auburn on some third-tier television network, and nobody outside of Arizona sees you, especially when you have a national recruiting brand that I'm going to talk to Antonio Pierce about here in a couple of minutes. Makes zero sense. Well, we've always done it this way. Boom, boom, boom. Just bang your head against the table because you've always done it this way. Antonio Pierce is next. We'll get into that with Antonio and then Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network. We are here every day, online, on television. Check out our content at sports360az.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Antonio Pierce is next. As promised, Antonio Pierce now with us, recruiting coordinator at Arizona State, co-defensive coordinator. I visited with Antonio earlier this year, and from afar, obviously, having been here almost 30 years, I've seen a lot of people come and go. A lot of people have said, we are going to make Arizona State a national recruiting brand. It hasn't happened, but I believe that they are in that space where it is now coming. In Antonio's space, he's not even been here two full years yet. I mean, it's one of those things, three full years, I should say. And the thing about him that caught my eye initially was, is it true that you were an intern for Howard Stern? Is this true? Is this fact? Is this fiction, Mr. Pierce?
Very factual. I did that after the Super Bowl year after we beat the Patriots, actually here in Glendale. And in the meantime, while I was obviously playing football, I had a weekly show that I would do with a Sirius radio. We called it Fierce Report.
Yep.
I got very comfortable going up to the studio. And then one day, one of the producers saw me from Howard Stern was like, would you like to intern? You know what? Why not? Something different other than football. And let me say this, it's experience of a lifetime.
You saw probably the behind the scenes on how sausage is made in broadcasting, right? And nobody likes to see how sausage is made, but we love to eat it. So what was that like? I mean, it was a short run, right? It was like a week, 2 weeks?
No. I did it for about 4 days. Okay. I think on air the last two. But it was just unique being in production meetings, understanding how Howard works, how they kind of put that whole cast of characters together. And just make that show go and go. And I didn't realize the followers. I'll be honest. I was a little blinded by it. I knew who Howard Stern was. I got that. Yeah. But after that moment, and it's kind of moments like this, people say, you know what? I remember that one time you was on Howard Stern. That was the best time. And they were pranking me. I was answering a phone call. I was getting coffee. Hey, I was a true intern. I was unpaid. And I worked and grind early in the morning until we got done every day.
That's really interesting. That's good stuff. The where Arizona State is right now, when you were at Long Beach Poly in 2014, could you have imagined it would go to where you're at today, your career post-NFL? Because some guys can't figure it out. Some guys, they immediately know what they want to do. Is this the path you would have thought initially in 2014?
I would say no. I knew I wanted to be a part of football. And obviously, I got into broadcasting right after I retired. Went right into ESPN about a month after I retired. I did that for 8 years, you know, with Coach Edwards. And that's where we created our bond. But then, more importantly, it's nice being suited and booted and putting tie on and makeup. There was something about being on that grass. There was something about being around the players. And fortunate enough to have some boys of my own watching them play football. And one of my older sons playing at Long Beach Poly, the opportunity came up. And walking through the gate one day, they kind of said, "Hey, you thinking about coaching or, you know, helping out?" I'm thinking they want me to break down film for the playoffs. But like, well, you know, we're going to have a culture change at the end of the season. Coach is going to retire. Would you mind putting your name in the hat? I did. I went full force, came up with a, you know, 4 to 6 year plan on what I thought I would do over those, over that time period. And I kind of knew that there was going to be a stepping stone. I didn't think high school was going to be the way to go, but it was the entry level for me to get into coaching and see if that was really something I wanted to do, a passion about it. And it was. And from there, it kind of took off to interning, going to different camps at NFL, with NFL teams, but then also being around ESPN, all you do is watch film. You know, you watch film on 32 teams and the breakdown. So it never left me. And then obviously when Coach Edwards got the opportunity in December and he called, "Coach, this is a no-brainer. Let's go. What we got to do?"
Sometimes, though, there are guys that just want to go right from the playing field to the college or the pros. Not many go do the high school thing. And I'll tell you, as a dad of four and having done the pro stuff, the college stuff, the high school stuff, give me high school all day long. Give me college all day long. And the NFL, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But give me some donkeys that are 14, 15, 16 years old. Mentor, lead, watch them get better. And then see how they turn out in college. And then the pros. And for you to go to a storied program. I grew up in Southern California. Poly was all that, right? Poly was all that. And so you take over this program that's not an also-ran. I got to give you some credit on that one, Antonio. That's a tough one.
I tell you what, it was a blessing. And for me, obviously, I did look at the history of Long Beach Poly. Being from California, I understood it firsthand. A lot of friends that I grew up with and the guys I played with in the pros and in college, I understood the makeup of that program and that community. And for me, it was a great opportunity to give back, one, to the community. I didn't get paid a dollar while I worked at Long Beach Poly. I volunteered. I gave all my money back to the school and kind of did that. What I got the biggest thrill out of, and I told them this, wasn't winning games, wasn't beating a certain rivalry. It was watching the 52, I believe, student-athletes move on to Division I, Division I AA, or Division II, and can continue their career and watch them reach their goals. You know, I was fortunate to coach Amon Marshall, Jackie Jones was here, around Juju Smith-Schuster, Joseph Wicker, who can ASU. So I've been around some good football players at Poly, and you got good players, you're a pretty good coach too, right?
That's it. It's funny how smart we all become, right?
Whatever it is. Good coach, hire him. Get that guy.
Antonio Pierce is with us as we talk about Arizona State football and the Pac-12 and much, much more. A national brand. Is Arizona State there yet, in your opinion, when it comes to recruiting?
We're getting there. I think if everybody's watching, obviously through social media around this time with COVID, everybody has their phone in their hands or some kind of gadget. What you're seeing is us reach top recruits, top 100, top 50 guys, and we're in the top five. You know, we're in the top three, and we're battling. And with those teams are playing for national titles. They're playing in January, and they've been doing it for a long time. And we made up our mind pretty much at the end of the season, around November and December. I went to Coach Edwards and Al Luganville, and I said, "Hey, we're really going to do this bad boy and do it right. We need bigger boys. We need length. We need size. We need mass." And the difference is on the West Coast is there's a handful of kids like that. You know, there's only a handful. You know, there's probably 10 or so that the other Power Five schools are chasing as well. And then all of a sudden we look down that 95 corridor, you know, east of the Mississippi River, and it's like, oh, my God, it's the pot of gold. You know, you can just go in there and grab, and there's guys that's going to group of five programs and some guys getting overlooked. Well, for us, that's a diamond in the rough. Well, those are guys are so valuable to our program. I think we've proven that we can recruit skilled guys. You know, Jaden Daniels, getting an elite quarterback. The wide receiver crew that we brought in last year, four recruits that were four stars and nationally ranked and had everybody in the country. Well, now it's time to switch over and really dig into the meat and potatoes of this bad boy. And that's up front. Man, that's in the trenches. When I played the National Football League, I played with what I call alpha dogs, alpha males up front. And that made me a better linebacker. And for our program, along with our quarterback, for us to be elite contenders on a national level, we got to try to recruit at a national level. And that's what we're doing. And look, I'm shocked by some of the results that we're getting, to be honest. I said, we'll get a handful. I mean, I think we got 18 signed commits, and I would say 12 or more from the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And it's a credit to our staff for believing and sticking to the plan.
We cannot be specific with Antonio, just for the audience that doesn't know the rules of recruiting. I can't throw names at him or anything, but I can just talk about multiple states. So you've gone as far east as you can go. It's not like just middle America. And I'm just curious, the pitch, Antonio, the pitch to come visit Tempe. What's the pitch?
It's different. It's different. And I know that firsthand from being a West Coast guy, high school, grew up my whole life, played it in the state of Arizona. I'm not going to say the other school because it doesn't make all the fans happy. Mm-hmm. But I get what it takes and how difficult and different it can be going from West to East. I think it's the opposite for East Coast players. They're used to cold weather, traveling through subway, snow, rain. You know, they deal with mass transit. They deal with different ways of commuting to work and how to get about life. And for me, it's simple. One, look at ASU. It's a metro city. It's a big city. You can get in and out of it through airports. The brand of ASU has been building over the last few years. It's not just because we got here, but it's been building even with Todd Brown. Then you look at the support staff, the people in the building. Herm Edwards, Marvin Lewis, myself, Kevin Mawai. You start ringing off names, and all of a sudden those kids say, I know who that is. I remember him. I played with him on Madden. And then all of a sudden the coaches, they get a lot of recall and say, hey, well, what a great opportunity you can be coached by these group of men. Not just one man, but men in general. Mm-hmm. So our pitch is simple. We're going to give you the opportunity to play. We don't believe in redshirting our freshmen. We believe in guys come in and play if they really, truly value football and want to do that. You know, some guys, yeah, they need to develop physically. But for the most part, hey, let's throw them out there to the wolves and let them watch them go. And if we need to reel them back in, we will. So it's not hard. And they've watched us do it over the last 2 years, you know, with a lot of our freshmen playing, get freshman All-American honors. Every kid think they're 3-9. Yeah. Every kid. Yeah. Right? Only way you can do that is by playing as a freshman.
Antonio Pierce with us. Talk, if you could, directly to the Arizona State fans that are here in state and the high school community here in state. Because I'm sure you've heard it. I've heard it for as long as I've been here. Got to recruit kids in Arizona. Got to recruit kids in Arizona. You had one signee last year. There's a presently one verbal this year that people know about. What can you say to the Arizona fans here in state on that subject?
Yeah, well, we're recruiting them as hard as we're recruiting everybody else. I mean, now there are going to be various conversations and opinions about that, but I know we've offered them. I know they've been in our building. They've been invited to multiple games throughout their high school career. We've done things with coaches. We've done our caravan through the state of Arizona with our assistant coaches and our head coach. We've welcomed them in with open arms. But I always say this, to be a Sun Devil, you got to want to be a Sun Devil. It works both ways. You know, we can throw out offers and then sometimes maybe we're not big enough. You know, maybe not the East Coast guys, wow, that's a big deal. Maybe you guys at home, you're used to it. That's Arizona State. That's the Sun Devils. Well, what I'm going to say to everybody is this. When we start winning, then you understand what we're doing. I mean, there's a process to us building a roster and a program the way we want it to look. And sometimes it matches in-state. Sometimes it doesn't. I feel like this. In the 22 class, about 18 months ago, we offered over 18 student-athletes in the 22 class scholarships. So nobody can say we're not ahead of the curve. We knocked that out, right? Those guys are just one year into their high school career, we offer them. Now, there's some kids that, you know, we were late on, you know, that we, I mean, got to keep watching. And that's just the process. Some guys get caught up in the numbers game, you know, and if you got an opportunity and you're looking for certain things. Like I said, in this class, height and length. I doubt we'll sign anybody shorter than 6'1". Mm-hmm. I doubt it. We're not on that track right now. We want tall guys with 80 plus inch wingspans. I want these guys to do this. They take up the whole screen. See, I want that. That's what we were looking for. You know, it makes it difficult for quarterbacks. It makes it better for our quarterback in protecting him. So, listen, we want all these hometown heroes to stay here in the state of Arizona with the Sun Devils, but they got to want it as much as we want them.
Quick tutorial for parents and kids that are wanting to get offered. When they get an offer from Arizona State, how quickly does Arizona State need to see them put it on their social media?
I don't really worry about that too much now because I call them Twitter fingers. You know, some guys are more excited about that than going back to work. To me, I didn't announce it on Twitter. So if that's what you choose to do, that's on you. Most of the time when we offer a student athlete, we go through the coach or we have an opportunity to have that student athlete call us. We'll then present that to them that way. If they want to do it right away, that's great. And you'll see our whole staff retweeting, liking, and kind of get that kid all that love for that moment. And then that's it. You know what an offer is? Offer is like, I like you. I like you. I need to watch you some more. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, keep working. Keep grinding. Keep going through that process. Some kids get offers, and they shut it down. I made it. Well, you can have 30 offers. You can sign with one school. And you better hope that one school that you want to go to likes you as bad as you like them at the end. But that's what it comes down to. The verbal, the silent commits, that's what they are. They're a handshake agreement. Sometimes the handshake agreements get broken. And it's not until you sign on a dotted line that it's for real.
What about the kid or the parent that wants to just collect offers? There's those guys out there that, hey, man, we got 10, we got 20, we got 30, we got 40. And at the end of the day, I say, who cares? Yeah. That's me. You're in that position where you have to read whether it's dad or collecting offers or not.
Yeah. I think you hit it on the head right there. Is it kind of do they want the badge? They want to have the rankings, the star to say, I'm a 30-plus offer guy. Well, here goes the problem. If you don't start playing like that 30 offer guy, again, you go to 1-0 real quick. And you see that amongst guys. And then some guys, they wait too long. At the end of the day, there's a numbers game. There's 25 scholarships on average every year that teams can use to sign student athletes. Well, as you're watching now during this whole pandemic, everybody's committing early. Yep. They're just jumping in. Everybody's jumping in. I need a spot. Because guess what? Schools in California, not playing until the spring. Schools in, I just saw today, in Virginia, not playing high school football until the spring. Well, college coaches and high school players have to make a decision. Do I want to watch that student athlete play in the spring? Or do I want to wait until that long to sign a guy? Yeah, that becomes tricky. So for us, we don't really get caught up in our numbers. You can have zero offers. I can offer you right now with zero. Mm-hmm. It's because what my eyes and what we have on paper says, you know what, you match what we're looking for as a Sun Devil, and that's all that matters to us.
If you have a player that has given you a verbal and their state gets shut down by COVID and they don't play to the spring, do they play or do they go to ASU and get in early? Do they hold themselves back? Mm-hmm. Does ASU want to see them play? Does ASU say, you guys need to stay healthy? This is for everybody, Antonio. This is like uncharted waters where I have parents calling me saying, what do we do? These are kids that have committed to some places out of state other than ASU saying, what do we do? And I say, I have no good answer for you. I could give you an opinion, but I'll just ask you directly on this one. What do you think is ASU's strategy for COVID pandemic? And the way this plays out, if it's a kid in California or Nevada that doesn't play to the spring, if they don't play at all and they're a senior.
Yeah, it's tough. I call this now business decisions. You don't have to make a business decision. I would say this. I'm a former athlete, obviously. I would hate to play two seasons in one calendar year.
Yep.
Couldn't do it. If I had a son playing high school football, which I don't, he would not play if he had an opportunity to go to college and he had a scholarship banking on his athletic performance along with being a student athlete. He would not play in the spring. That's just too much on the body, first and foremost. That's me being a dad. I'm not going to let you beat my son up. He's not going to play 10 to 12 games, maybe 14 in high school, and go right into summer football with a college program without his body being able to recover and then play another 12 games to 14. I'm not going to do it. Our approach is we're in the business of early enrollees. We had 11 last year in the 2020 class. We expect that number to be even higher this year. We have 20 to 25 scholarships. I expect 75 to 80% of our roster to be here in the spring.
Interesting. What about the players that did not get a spring that are juniors going to be seniors this year that needed a spring? What about those late bloomers? What about the guys that were injured? What advice would you give that player, that parent on that subject?
Now this is where you need to use social media. This is what social media is used for. Use that as your platform. Show us work. Show us you working out. Show us you doing drills. Let us see your height and weight. You know, figure that out. You know, how to get that to us. use that platform to show your growth, because I have not seen any student athletes since January because we haven't been able to get on the road and nobody can come out here on campus. So everything we're doing is literally on this bad boy right here, this phone. That's how we recruit. You know, just we're looking at these guys and you go back to their junior film and then you try to watch camps, 7-on-7, these training videos, whatever you can watch and whatever information you can gather, that's what we're trying to do. And it's difficult for us as well. I'll be honest, we have kids committed that we never seen. Never seen a person. So we're banking on our eyes and our information and the data and stuff that we've gathered to make that decision.
Is 7-on-7 crucial?
Certain positions. Yeah. Certain positions. I think I like seeing a quarterback throw the ball. I like seeing a corner compete man-on-man with the ball in the air because you just get more reps at it. When I sign or offer a kid off a 7-on-7, nope, not doing it. You know, the game is still played with a helmet and shoulder pads.
Before I get you out of here, the impact of Jaden, you've been asked this a ton, but I look at it and say and have felt that if ASU has that Jake Plummer, and I covered Jake when I first got here, if they have that transcend type of guy that can just capture the community, they're going to win, and they're going to win fans and butts and seats, maybe not this year in a pandemic. But what has Jaden brought in terms of you walking into households and just saying the name or showing the tape to a skill player guy or a lineman saying, we got this right here for you?
Yeah, it's different. You can have the greatest wide receiver. We've had two really good ones here, right? Two first rounders. We had a really good running back. That was cool. You know what's cooler? Having an NFL prototypical quarterback having the ball every time in his hands. Everybody understands that. Everybody talks about that. That sells tickets. That gets people excited. That gets recruits, the fan base, alumni. Everybody talking about this brand right here, about the Fort, about Sun Devil football. So we knew that about Jaden. He's a great face of a program and an organization and the university you like to have because he's a good student. He's a good person. You know, you meet Jaden, within minutes, you feel like you've been around this kid your whole life.
Yep.
He's a likable kid. He smiles. He loves life. He loves being around people. He loves helping people. He loves giving back. And better yet, you know, he's a really good football player, and he's humble. He's humble. He's humble. You know, he's not walking around like, hey, I'm the man. I'm patting myself on the back. Because basically it's his team. You know, we're kind of young on offense. And Coach Edwards told him that, you know, this next year will be your team. And to his credit, as he's always done, he just works. He doesn't talk about it. He's not a rah-rah guy. He's not on social media self-promoting himself. We do that. He lets the people around him do that for him, and he just works and grinds. That's what you look for in your quarterback.
Flip it over to 2 years ago, I met Merlin Robertson for the first time and had a really good deep dive talk with him. And then we would visit after that. And I really like what he's all about off the field, figuring some things out. On the field, tape don't lie, right? So talk about where he is from your view in coming into this season.
Listen, I've known Merlin since he was in the seventh grade. You know, back to when I was at Long Beach Poly, I was trying to recruit him to come play in high school for me. So we have a long, long relationship. Merlin's put himself in a position where he's always wanted to be 3 and done. He's been fortunate to come in and play right away as a freshman, earned a bunch of honors and awards as a freshman. And then, you know, sophomore year, sometimes too many pats on the back, it gets to you a little bit. And I think everybody was shocked early on, myself included, with how he played. And we had those discussions. This is not the guy. This is not what we signed up for, you or me. And I think what you saw the last, you know, 3 to 4 games was a guy like, wow, especially that Florida State game, Oregon. I mean, he's flying around, letting his body go, quick twitch, on the line of scrimmage, off the ball. Merlin is a unique linebacker in the sense that he can do so many things, right? I can play him at defensive end because he's stout enough and strong enough. I can play him out in the box, outside the box, over there on the slot on number 2 because he has the length and the wherewithal in the passing game to understand what's going on around him. And then as a Mike linebacker, what people don't give him credit for, he's one of the smartest football players on our team. He can get guys lined up. He can figure out when everything's not or kind of out of whack. You know, you see him moving and adjusting guys, and I think we're even going to rely on that even more this year. And I'm hoping that he has one hell of a year. And I can see him after that bowl game. I shake his hand, and I wish him the best of luck and see him in the NFL draft. That's our plan from day one. That's why I told him, that's the opportunity I'll give him. He has to go out there and do it.
Last question. The player that is not getting enough attention within your program, you look at it and say, Brad, I don't get it. This guy, it doesn't matter, offense, defense, special teams, I don't care. The one guy that you're just saying, flat out, when he's done here, this is going to be something else.
Yeah. And I wish I could just give you one guy, or I got multiple guys that's going through my head, but I look at a guy like Frank Darby, to be honest with you. I think he's in a unique situation, right? 2 years ago, you got N'Keal Harry, and he's the man. Then the next year, he think it's supposed to be Frank Darby's show. And then it becomes the Brandon Ayuk show. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Each year, he's always done what he was supposed to do. He played Robin long enough. This is the year he becomes Batman. You know, this is the year that he leads our team in receptions. Those big plays. You see a big play, Frank, do it. You know, that deep ball goes up. Somehow, some way, it finds a way into his lap. And the leadership that he brings and just the energy that he brings in the building, man, I can have a bad day. And when I hear Frankie Darby walking through the damn building, I get excited, man. He fires me up. And that's rarely for a player to do that to a coach, but he gets you going. He brings that juice each and every day. He never changes. He gets to be who he wants to be. But better yet, this is his time for him to really step out. And I don't know if he's going to be a first rounder. I know he's going to be a hell of a good football player for this program. He's done everything that we asked him to do. But now it's his time to shine.
I appreciate the time. The Stern story was great. And and I look forward to visiting with you more down the road. Appreciate it, Antonio. Thanks.
I appreciate you guys for having me.
There's Antonio Pierce at Arizona State. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, the Hall of Famer's with us, Michael Fabiano. I hope you didn't have anybody on the Miami Marlins in fantasy baseball.
I had Marlins. I've obviously got Yankees because I'm somewhat of a homer.
Yeah.
I have Phillies. My starting rotation is basically a bunch of postponements. And then I have Zach Britton as my closer, postponed. Aroldis Chapman has COVID. I have him. This is what we're dealing with. I mean, I get it, like fantasy sports is frivolous at this point, but this should be a reminder that, assuming we have a football season, which we are all hoping there is one, you've got to make sure that your commissioner changes the rules, adds more bench spots, adds more injured spots, designates COVID-19 spots. Because, like, in my baseball league, it's a daily league, so you kind of shift players in and out. But I had to drop, like, three or four guys. They weren't super valuable. You stream in this league. But in football, you're not going to have that luxury. You can't trust that your team is not going to have some sort of negative effect from the coronavirus. And we are getting hit in the face hardcore with a big slap of reality with this outbreak in Miami.
Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, with us. If you couldn't tell, SiriusXM is where you can find him on channel, fantasy channel number 90?
210, XM87. Yes.
XM87. I don't know why I said 90, because I'm a SiriusXM guy, but that's fine.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Training camp is underway in certain places. So let's go through battles, because that's what I'm getting the questions about. Is I'm trying to stack my team, Brad. I cannot figure out the Green Bay Packers running back battle, because if I don't have Jones and he gets hurt or he gets sick, what should I do? So I want to take you through some battles that are out there. And
sure.
Let's start with the Packers at running back.
I mean, there is no battle. It's Aaron Jones atop the depth chart with Jamal Williams 2 and then A.J. Dillon at 3. I do feel like this is one of those cases where we're going to miss on seeing A.J. Dillon in some preseason games, although I think it was smart that the NFL got rid of those because they're meaningless. But it's one of those scenarios where Aaron Jones is the one, expect regression. He's not going to score nearly 20 touchdowns again. Jamal Williams is probably the handcuff with some standalone flex value at times. And then A.J. Dillon is sort of the X factor in this. Does he get goal line opportunities? Is he potentially the Packers running back of the future? Time will tell. Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams are both in contract years.
Vikings wide receiver. Big change up there, Minnesota.
It is. So Thielen is the one. Adam Thielen is one. There's no question about that. Justin Jefferson's the big favorite to be the wide receiver too. Although, rookie coming into the NFL, no OTAs. You're going to hear that a million times over from fantasy and NFL analysts. At 3, Tajay Sharp, and then you've got BC Johnson. There's not a lot to like from a fantasy perspective past the first two wide receivers in Minnesota.
Houston wide receivers.
I mean, you want to talk about a talented but high-risk group? Brandon Cooks has had, what, at least 5 concussions during the course of his career. He would be the wide receiver I would be targeting in Houston. Then you've got Will Fuller. Super productive when he's actually active, but he's been injury-prone too. Randall Cobb had a good year with the Cowboys last year. has had his sort of injuries during his time in the National Football League. Kenny Stills is in the mix as well, too. Kiki QT is there. He's also dealt with some injuries. That wide receiver core could end up making or breaking Deshaun Watson as a passer in 2020, and that's why we've seen Deshaun Watson's drop value drop just a few spots at the quarterback position.
Really? Yeah, if I ever take Will Fuller again, just stomp on my neck, because he cost me last year. He absolutely screwed me last year out of a title. That's the only
and way what, and what is so attractive about him, though, is that when he plays, he's typically productive. I mean, he had a game last year. I think he had almost, 60 points or something? I can't remember exactly what game it was, but he can put up numbers, and he has scored a ton of touchdowns when Deshaun Watson's been the quarterback during their time together in Houston, but he just can't stay out of the trainer's room.
Yeah, but Michael, he can put up a ton of points, and then he can do zero, two, and four. And I sit there for 3 weeks in a row and say, if I don't play Will Fuller, I'm an idiot. Instead, I'm an idiot because I played Will Fuller.
And that's why you draft him as a wide receiver four in most cases, because he's got the high ceiling, but the floor is also kind of low.
Really low. Chiefs running back battle.
So I've been on record saying that eventually Clyde Edwards-Helaire will take over the job. I think Damian Williams will open the season as the starter, especially because he's a veteran. The Glide is a rookie. What is he going to do in pass protection? I mean, he's not going to really be in real game situations in the NFL trying to protect Patrick Mahomes. And of course, he's the crown jewel in Kansas City. So I think Williams will end up being the starter to open the season. It will be a backfield committee. Eventually, I do feel like the rookie will overtake Williams and be the better of the two fantasy running backs. But the COVID-19 scenario doesn't do him any favors, and that's why I feel like the veteran will open as the starter. And you could see that in a lot of places. Indianapolis with Jonathan Taylor. Maybe it's going to be Marlon Mack to open the season. In Tampa Bay, Ronald Jones, although he hasn't really been great in pass protection, maybe that helps his cause to be the week one starter over Keyshawn Vaughn. That's all stuff that we have to learn. Time will tell.
Okay, before I get you out of here, talking with Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer. A lot of questions about Cam Newton in the mailbag this week and what your view is of Cam.
Cam is a guy that you can get in the double-digit round, so he's not coming at a high cost, despite the fact that he's had so much success. Which Cam are we going to see? Superman, who's been one of the elite fantasy quarterbacks ever since he's coming in the league, or Clark Kent, who hasn't really looked all that great in his last 4 to 8 games? Of course, you also have to factor in injuries. He is a QB2 who is well worth taking, not inside the top 100 picks, but certainly a guy that you can get in the 11th or 12th rounds who may pay dividends. And if he doesn't, Brad, it's a deep position. You could throw him back on the waiver wire.
One last question out of the mailbag, and that is, have Fabs talk about the Chargers and what he sees out of L.A.
I think Tyrod Taylor could be useful. I'm not saying he's draftable in DFS, in 2QB leagues, in super flex leagues. I think he could be useful. You remember he had a season in Buffalo where he was pretty good. And I feel like Justin Herbert is not going to start maybe as soon as he would have had there been OTAs and we wouldn't be in this coronavirus situation. So Tyrod, draftable in 2QB and Superflex, probably not in typical redrafts, especially in 10-team leagues. Austin Eckler is a first-round pick, in my opinion. The real battle to watch there is between Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly. I like Kelly. Keep in mind, last year when Sean Steichen took over as the OC, there were plenty of touches to go around both running backs. So one of Kelly or Justin Jackson could be a nice sleeper. Keenan Allen sees his value drop somewhat because Phillip Rivers is no longer in the mix. I still see him as a wide receiver two. Mike Williams is probably a wide receiver four or five. And then Hunter Henry is a tight end one without question. The only thing that we have to worry about with Henry, avoiding injuries. And if he can do that, I feel like he'll be a top eight player.
Let you go off that. Good stuff there. Good luck on the show on Sirius XM. Always good to see you. Stay safe.
Take care, my friend.
There's Michael Fabiano with us every week, and we're back with more after this timeout.